Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon, we begin at the end of the gospel reading, and Jesus said to him, "Rise and go your way, your faith has made you well." Which is, by the way, the first mention of faith in the gospel lesson. But now to our sermon title. God is sneaky. And I love it. It's all over in the Bible. God is sneaky. Think about it. The famine in Israel, and Elimelech and Naomi and Mahlon and Chilion head south to Moab. Why? 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 Because they got better crops down there? And Elimelech dies, and Mahlon and Chilion marry Orpah and Ruth, and then Mahlon and Chilion die, and Naomi decides to head back home to Bethlehem. Why? 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 And in the going, there is a decision to be made. Should Orpah go with? She wants to, but then heads back to, did you notice this in the reading? To her own people and her own gods. And Ruth, she will not let go. She will not head back away from God or away from Naomi. Your people shall be my people and your God my God. Why? Why does all this happen? God is sneaky. The arrangement of all of the events are in part simply because God wants Ruth in his family. And you see the pattern repeated over and over and over again. Why is it that this one Samaritan leper was hanging around with and keeping company with 9 good Jewish boys who were lepers? And the answer is, so that on a certain day when they were in a certain place and just by chance, no, it's not by chance, Jesus was coming along there, and just by coincidence, no, there's not coincidence, he's passing them, and they call out, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And what's he say? "Go show yourselves to the priests," and as they go, they are healed. For leprosy, what's it like? As they're walking along, the feeling is coming back into the hands and feet. As they're walking along, the wounds and the decay of leprosy is clearing up. And the one heads back to go to Jesus. Why is Jesus walking that road that day? Because he wants that one Samaritan in his family, searching him out. Stories in the Old Testament. There was a time during the prophets that during a raid, a little girl was carried away captive. And now she's in Damascus, and she's the servant, the slave of the wife of the commander of the armies of Damascus. Why? So that on a certain day, when the commander of the armies of Damascus learns that he has leprosy, there's no healing for that. She can say, "Oh, that my master were in Israel. There's a prophet there who could heal him." And he heads down to Israel, and the prophet Elisha, it is, tells him, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and he comes back healed. Why? Why all this arrangement in this way? Well, it is so that the story can be finished with Naaman the Syrian, no longer a leper, saying to Elisha, there's no other God than the God of Israel. Oh, and by the way, will you permit me to have 2 mule loads of dirt so that I can carry it back to Damascus and spread the dirt out in my backyard, and there I can stand on the land of Israel and worship the God of Israel? Coincidence? I think not. Why is it that when a certain prophet is commanded to head off to Nineveh, that as he runs the very opposite way, he happens across this particular boat? And when the storm comes up and they throw him overboard, because his name is Jonah, no, because he's running away from God, that what happens next? And the sailors have to somehow get word back to him later on in Nineveh. What happens next is that the sailors say, oh, there's no other God. We're going to worship and serve the God of Israel that Jonah told us about. Why is that? Because God has decided that he wanted a particular group of sailors in his family. And I could go on and on and on and on and use up the entire time of the sermon detailing all of these things. But God is sneaky. And if you trace out the connections between Easter morning and the disciples to you hearing about Jesus, what kind of stories would come along in that chain of events? Not coincidence. What kind of stories would there be? And over my years as being a pastor, I have heard some amazing tales of how somebody came to faith in Jesus. Every time I think the story is the most extreme that I'm ever going to hear in my life, along comes another one a little time later. God is sneaky. But back to the gospel lesson. So, when they say, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us, go and show yourselves to the priests. Why? The reason for that is because centuries before, in the book of Leviticus, Jesus had arranged that a certain passage would be written. And it's the passage about the cleansing of the lepers. When a leper finds out that he's been cleansed, he has to go to the priest, and the priest is to take 2 live clean birds. So let's see. Is it 9 of them coming, and 1 maybe a little later on? How many birds does the priest need to have? Yeah. How many times does he have to do the ritual of for the cleansing of the leper? 9 or 10 times. And the ritual is that he is to take one of the birds and slay it, capturing its blood in an earthenware vessel, earthenware like the tomb, over running water like baptism. Then he is to take the live clean bird and dip it in the blood of the bird that is slain and to let it fly free. And then there's scarlet yarn for sin, hyssop, a marker of the cross, cedar wood, like the cross, and so on. All of which might seem confusing until I ask two questions. Who is symbolized by the bird that is slain? That'd be Jesus. Now answering in singular, not plural. Who is symbolized by the bird that is marked with the blood of the bird that is slain and then allowed to fly free and live? That's me. And the priest has to go through this 9 times or possibly 10. Did I mention at the beginning, God is sneaky? He's evangelizing the priests, right? But with normal evangelism, somebody comes along and tells them the gospel message. God is sneaky. The priests are going to preach the gospel message to themselves. And that's just pretty good. You got to admire that for the amazing cleverness of the whole thing. Yeah. When was the last time you went out and tried to evangelize somebody and you got them to preach the gospel to themselves? Okay. So the lesson of the sacrifice of the two birds, there's a number of lessons there. Forgiveness of sins by the blood of Jesus. New life through the blood of Jesus. And I'm set free. And there is somebody who has come to take all of the guilt and all of the punishment for my sins on himself and take it off of me. That's some of the lessons. And the one leper, the Samaritan, comes back to Jesus and praises him. And at the end of the lesson is the first mention of faith. Your faith has made you well. And this is like part two of how God is sneaky. He does these things, and we're not ready for them. But he's going to do his work, and then the Samaritan is going to find out, when it is all done, oh, I believe in Jesus. How'd that happen? Which is, frankly, the way it happens with a lot of people who argue with God, who push back against God, and then something in the Word gets into the soul, and it's a discovery after the fact. Oh, Jesus is my Savior. He did all of that for me. When did that happen that I came to believe? It can get confusing. Book of the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 36. God says, I will remove the heart of stone from you and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit upon you. And the new birth happens. And all of a sudden, oh, he is the Savior. When did that happen in my soul that I came to believe? He does these things unseen to our eyes, unrecognized by us as they're taking place, except that all of a sudden, we know. Jesus is the Christ. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. His blood covers me. His blood forgives my sins. What he did on the cross gives me forgiveness, and what he did on Easter gives me eternal life. And now I have a relationship with God, and I'm going to live forever. How'd that happen? It's like you almost want Jesus on Easter morning, instead of saying to Mary Magdalene, Mary, to say, surprise, everything's different. It's the way that God does it. Before the world is ready, Christ is born in a stable, laid in a manger, unnoticed to almost the whole world. Forgiveness of sins, does it on the cross, and the disciples are thinking, everything's lost. But forgiveness has been done. Jesus rises from the dead. They weren't ready. A new heart. The disciples think at some point that they found the Christ. No, they didn't find the Christ. The Christ found them. Surprise! When we are ready and we want to ask Jesus to be our Savior and be in our lives, surprise! He's already there. It can be quite confusing. Or we can say, well, that's how grace is. And God does these things and amazes us over and over and over again. And it's because He is such a wonderful and amazing Savior. In Jesus' name, Amen.